Good morning. This is a new voice introducing Talk Shop, waiting for Brian, as he is now entering the booth.
I see. Once you get that play-by-play bug, it just doesn't leave, does it?
This is fun. Welcome, Brian.
Yeah. I sense this is about to spiral totally out of control.
I'm just glad you showed up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. At least there's one. Our quote this morning comes from some guy whose name I can't pronounce. Jean, it kind of looks like Cousteau, but not really.
Boy, I'm afraid to pronounce it.
All right, some French dude. Quote, one must use a brazen lie to convince people of reality of a higher and deeper order. In other words, trust me, I know better than you, huh? Okay.
I will not say that.
All right, here's a Woody Allen one. Uh-huh. If my film makes one person feel miserable, I feel I've done my job.
How's that?
Yeah. You betcha, Woody.
That explains why I don't watch Woody Allen.
Oh, there's a myriad of reasons I don't, but that's one of them.
Well, I think that captured a lot of it.
Yeah.
Boy. There's enough to be miserable about in life rather than paying to have somebody give you a little extra. Yeah.
Let's spend the first segment looking in the rearview mirror a little bit. How was it this year?
It was hard. It was a hard season. I mean, it's the nice thing about tax season this year was that the law was pretty static. We kind of knew what was coming, so we didn't have to face significant tax law changes. But it gets a little harder every year in some respects. Must be the graying on my temples.
I was thinking the memory issue.
That might be a part of the problem too. No, it was a tough season, but
so what made it? Was it just poundage or was it nuances? If the big laws weren't changing,
I think it's a series of things. I mean, the we're busy, and that's a great problem to be busy. There continues to be complexity in the law that is, undue. There's also the problem that the IRS is trying to deal with fraud. And in doing so, that creates what we have is heightened compression of our tax season, because it used to be that we did tax returns for individuals in February and in early February. Now it's very difficult to do those because most people don't have all their 1099s and everything they need. And that creates more challenges on our end, because what I tend to do is work on other types, estates and trusts and partnerships and S corporations and other corporations, all that stuff we tend to do earlier. But what happens is the individuals get pushed late, just because of the nature of how it is to get information in this current age.
So you're just compressing the same amount of workload.
Yeah, and
you've seen a lemon juice maker before, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. I knew the analogy would work, at least for one.
It does work.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Times 819. We'll be back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Now, was it yesterday, late last week, we're starting to hear rumblings and sharings of proposed tax plans, budget changes. What sense do you have, other than there will be change?
there's going to be change. I think we need to know that. We don't know exactly. There is a proposal out from the Trump administration for making tax law changes. The proposal covers both business tax and individual income tax. There's some, with any proposal, there's not enough specificity to answer, to really be able to drill down and say, well, in your situation, this is what's going to happen. Right. We just don't know. We have a general idea of the direction they'd like to go. Now, whether or not that's going to happen or not, I mean, there's some really fascinating questions in there as far, for a guy like me, wow, I wonder if that happened, how would that,
So you're going third, fourth ripple hitting the...
I can think about it from my own tax return, and that tells me one thing. But I also think about it from other tax, I'm immediately going, well, if I was Joe Smith, wow, that would be a big change in their situation.
Well, let's do a little nibble. Mm-hmm. The corporate income tax going from 35 to 15.
Right.
I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty darned attractive to me, unless you tell me I don't qualify and then it's a neutral. But, for those in business, that's a huge chunk of money that either helps to counterbalance off the minimum wage increases in California or deferred maintenance or anticipated investments or all of a sudden now there's a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, it's one of those, the whole concept, first of all, our corporate tax rate is basically the world's highest corporate tax rate. It's caused a number of U.S. companies to offshore a lot of their operations and certainly trying to offshore profitability. So, and being in accounting, I understand how that might happen, how administrative charges might occur to lessen the value of the American onshore income. And
well, and that's the big boys, that have that flexibility, whether it's manufacturing or whatever it might be. But let's say for Joe's Diner in X City, Northern California. Well, okay. That's an option for some, but it's not an option for me. What does it mean to the folks that we kind of tend to do business with locally?
Well, it means a lot, and there's more to it. I mean, we're talking about the corporate tax rate, but there's another piece to it, which we'll get to. But first of all, we don't have near as many of our clients who are just in pure C corporations, which pay corporate tax. We have a lot of our clients who are in S corporations or have limited liability companies or partnerships or limited liability partnerships or other forms of entities, and all of them, are taxed differently. And so when you start to look at that, that's one of the decisions when people say, hey, I want to start a business. I think I need an entity to operate my business. And we then go through the decision tree of, okay, here's the various choices that are out there. Here's the pros and cons. Some of the pros and cons are tax related. Some of the pros and cons can relate to employee benefits and other things. So it just depends on, who somebody is, how we might walk down the road of what type of entity is the most appropriate in their circumstances. So when we look at C corporations and look at the corporate tax rate going down from 35% to 15%, from my world, that I've got a number of C corporate clients that would be really beneficial for. I sit on the board of a bank that pays, the federal and state tax burden is, basically 40%. So we make a buck, 40 cents goes off to
somewhere.
And I'm not saying that the bank shouldn't contribute or other corporations shouldn't contribute towards the cost of the services that the government provides. That's not the point. The point is that, at what point is it reasonable? And we're all going to come down in a different spot on that. We can all sit and have – I think you can get in a room and most people – if you say, is 10% too high? Well, a few people raise their hand. Is 20% too high? More hands go up. 30% too high? More hands go up. 40% too high? You got people who will say 90% is not too high, but they're a real minority, just like the people is a real minority that say 10% is too high. We've got people all across the spectrum, so we're never going to make everybody happy. when you make a tax law change. But we can look and say, hey, we're not competitive with the rest of the world, so we're gonna look at trying to bring down that corporate tax rate, which will affect the big guys, but it's also going to affect people you and I know here in this community who operate their business in a C corporation and have, you know, in effect a 35% tax burden on their for federal, plus a California burden, which might be, let's call it 9%. So do that math. That's 40-some percent on every dollar of profit they make. Even when we tax affect the value of the California deduction against the federal income, it's still going to be 42-43% for a corporation.
Now, you said C Corp. What about some of those others that you were referencing? Is there a muted discount for those?
They are discussing, yes, having a lower tax rate for earned income from businesses, and so we can kick that around. I don't know exactly how to work.
Since you brought us in, why don't you go to the break also?
It right now is right near 8:30, and we're going to break. We'll be back after this.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with noted CPA and broadcaster Bill McCauley.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
that
go.
Was one of your phrases, there, wasn't it?
There goes the station.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, my. Let's see. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the suggested corporate tax adjustments, changes that the feds are looking at. One of the things that I had heard is that to whatever extent, it may also change states' recognition of giving credit for some of the taxes that are paid at the federal level, so some of those deductions that might have otherwise applied may not apply. It really seems like things are still shifting around a lot.
This is really uncertain. It is not the time to make decisions based on this proposal. It's a time to be just getting a little more information and see what happens. Because basically the administration's sending smoke signals that this is not going to happen until towards the end of the year. So probably will not be retroactive to 2017. So you're likely looking at something that would be a 2018 tax law change. As somebody who doesn't really love having to deal with retroactive tax law changes, that's reasonably appealing to me. But from the standpoint that you're right that there are ripples. I mean, we haven't talked about this, and we can kick this around right now. But they're talking about doing away with a bunch of itemized deductions, things we're used to deducting for individual returns. So let's say I'm an individual, and I'm used to paying. I'm in California, so I have a high state income tax, and I've got property taxes and my DMV fees, and I've got a mortgage and some charitable contributions and things of that nature. Well, they're really talking about doing away with that state tax deduction. And really, you'd have a mortgage deduction and some charitable contributions that would be allowable, but the rest of the stuff they'd do away with. Well, that's fine if you live in Nevada and you have no state income tax and you do away with a deduction that you don't have a deduction for anyway. But if you live in New York or California that are high tax states, you're going to have a different attitude towards it because that may take a big deduction off your plate. Now, one of the things they're also talking about doing is doing away with the alternative minimum tax. And if they do that, then for certain people, they're not really getting the effect of their state income tax deduction anyway. So that would streamline the law and, you know, it would reduce some itemized deductions. But they're talking about allowing a larger standard deduction too, basically doubling the existing standard deduction and doing away with some deductions. So certain people who itemize would be.
So young families would really appreciate that one.
I think so, yeah, because if you had a young family and they doubled the standard deduction, most people would probably just use the standard deduction. You'd have fewer people who would itemize.
So is the goal with this streamlining the process? Is the goal of this not necessarily streamlining, but simplifying, saving money? I mean, there's a lot of phrases and words that are popping into our heads now just based on this very rudimentary approach. Mm-hmm. It seems like, regardless, it's going to be a win.
Well, there'll be some people will win more than others, and of course, you're going to hear is the 1% does way better than everybody else. Well, that's because the 1% pays most of the tax. So, I mean, so that's kind of a little misleading when somebody stands up and screams, "Look, this most of the benefits going to the top 1%." That's because most of the tax is paid by the top 1%. That being said, there is provision for people across the board within the proposal, as I understand it.
For those those who are paying taxes.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If you're not paying taxes, that's a whole other matter. Now, and I don't know if there's really any proposals regarding the earned income tax credit and things of that nature. But the outline of this is to reduce the corporate tax rate, reduce the tax rate on business earnings, do away with certain deductions, do away with the alternative minimum tax. All those things would serve to streamline the law a bit, although it may make things more complicated when we start talking about, you know, extending a 15% tax rate to all business income. Because take somebody like me. I earn my income from the practice of accounting. That's business income. It's self-employment income. I'm taxed based on that earnings. But I would then potentially have my earnings from practicing accounting be limited to a 15% income tax, which right now I could be potentially taxed up to 39.6%. I'm not, but I could be. And so the point being, that could be a big savings, but there might be some complexity in making that calculation.
Is the ultimate goal of this, and this is reading tea leaves, obviously, mm-hmm, economic expansion and getting a lot of businesses that have sent jobs and resources abroad, bring them back?
I think, yes. I think so. I think different people are going to look at it and come to different conclusions. But I do think that that's the goal, is to try to expand the economy, create opportunity, and bring back things that have gone away, left the country, bring it back.
So more people paying less taxes, getting us to the same spot.
Right.
KINS, News and Information, Times 842. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Final few moments this morning with Phil McCauley. Billy, so what is your takeaway with what you're hearing so far about the tax proposals that are coming out of Washington?
I guess to try to short form it, I do think we're going to get a tax law change. I do think it'll be late this year. I don't think it'll be retroactive to 2017. I think it'll be effective in 2018. I think it will reduce corporate tax rates. It will likely take away some itemized deductions that we're used to having. It will add back a larger standard deduction, which will probably benefit a lot of people on the lower end of the tax structure. I think that we're likely to see some relief beyond corporate tax relief, some relief for businesses and for business income. Keep in mind, if you have capital gains, you know, those are taxed at, you know, for most people at 15%. Could be zero, could be up to 20, but the point is, let's call it a 15%. It's a normal capital gain federal tax rate. So why is business income taxed up to 39.6% when capital gain income has been taxed at 15%? There's some reasons for it. I understand that, but there's some fundamental equity issues that and no matter what they do, there'll be problems with it. It won't be fair to everybody, and that's reality. And there'll be people who'll be unhappy, and there'll be winners and losers. There is in everything, because you can't apply something on that across that broad a spectrum and have it be, you know, have the same effective
positiveness.
Yeah, on everybody. It's just not going to happen. So, but
it
I
sounds
do,
like you're excited.
I'm interested.
Cautiously excited.
I'm interested. I mean, I think it's, you know, I will be the first one to tell you, and I make my living on the complexity of the tax law to some degree, but the tax law is far too complicated, and I hope that they do some simplification that results in people being able to understand their taxes better. I mean, most of our clients look at their tax returns and they go, I don't know what this is. You know,
where do I sign?
I'm glad you're doing it. Yeah, where do I sign? We're like, you're supposed to read this and understand your return. That's what you're saying. But who could? I won't say who could. There are people who can, but the large percentage of us are going to be completely stymied by it.
So what is the ripple, first wave on the shore, at the state level? Now, you mentioned Nevada doesn't have. Okay, California's high. Yeah. Oregon's medium. What's the first wave that hits?
Well,
the
interestingly, the high tax states are going to be unhappy because they're going to say that disproportionately affects us. On the other hand, the high tax states have been subsidized theoretically because you've got, if you're California and you have a relatively high income tax, but people are getting a tax deduction, they're reducing their federal income tax to pay more tax to California. So now the alternative minimum tax often wipes out that advantage for certain people, but the point is, there's no equity. You can't have equity with this. This is far too broad a brush to consider that there would be any equity associated with this thing working out perfectly for everybody. But I do think we're going to see changes. I am cautiously hopeful that there will be some simplification, and that's a good thing in my mind.
Well, and I would think for those at the IRS that are interested in higher compliance, they'll get it, and it'll be easy for them to determine that they're getting higher compliance as well.
And the IRS is the tip of the tail, really. In terms of the new law, they get wagged around by the big dog, which is Congress. And so,
well, Wolf, baby, thanks for coming by.
All right,
see you ready tomorrow.